Wisconsin wins a second championship.
Oh, boy. This is... I wasn't expecting that.
And it's heartbreak for Hamlin in Phoenix. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
The year-long championship battle in NASCAR has finally reached its conclusion, and congrats to the champion. Kyle Larson wins it in Phoenix. He doesn't win the race, but he wins the day and he wins the war, and he's a two-time NASCAR Cup Series champion. Hi, everyone. I'm Doug Rice, joined by Alexis Erickson and Kyle Petty. Our other member, Brad Gilley, is winging his way back from Phoenix, where he was out working for the Motor Racing Network this weekend as one of their pit reporters. Great job, Brad. Hope you had a wonderful time covering the championship run. Well, it's all said and done, Alexis, and a kind of stunning ending to it all when we get a late race caution at Denny Hamlin's 2.5 laps away from being a champion. William Byron crashes. We go under the yellow. He pits. He takes four tires. He loses track position. And when they restart, he's never able to catch Kyle Larson.
Yeah, stunning, certainly. You know, there was a time in the race where I even thought, well, Kyle Larson's done. You know, he blows a tire, and you think, okay, well, that's probably the end of his day. So he's out of the championship hunt. And then here we get a late race, caution. And Cliff Daniels, his crew chief, says, we're taking two tires. They, jump through several people to get track position that they needed. And then when it was all said and done, They came out on top. Not on top of the leaderboard. That was Ryan Blaney. He won the race yesterday. However, Kyle Larson was the best of the four championship drivers that were in the race yesterday at Phoenix. And that's the way that this points format works. And so he is now crowned a two-time NASCAR Cup Series champion.
Shout out to Brad Kay. I thought he was going to win this
final one.
I was watching that part of it too, pulling for him. But Denny and those guys, as you said, I mean, he led, 208 laps out of 313 or something like that?
He clearly had the best car.
Yeah. He had the best car. And then 2 weeks in a row, I think we were treated as fans to see dominant performances and performances of guys that rose to the occasion. William Byron at Martinsville and then Denny Hamlin out here. It just all went to heck in a handbasket at the end of the race for Denny. And if we go back, and we were talking about it a little bit before we came on the air, you know, when we get Denny, he's five cars behind. The Larson is fifth, and Denny is 10th on the restart.
And we should mention it's because Denny took four tires.
Denny took four tires, so he's 10th. But in the middle of the corner, they're side by side. Now, they're four and five wide, but they're side by side. And the race was won and lost coming off of turn two. Kyle Larson got a head of steam headed down the backstretch. Almost got pinned on the outside wall, but got ahead of steam and was able to clear that pack a little bit. And Denny was put in a box, and he could not get out of that box. And he spent the whole backstretch trying to figure out how to get out of the box. And once you get to three and four, the bottom of the racetrack on good tires, there were people blocking and trying to win the race and going and do stuff. So it was just, it's tragic. You know what I mean? Because when you have a car like that and you see a car like that, I don't care whether you like Denny Hamlin, don't like Denny Hamlin, it doesn't make any difference. That was a performance that was meant to be and meant to win a championship off of that performance, and it didn't happen.
You know, I used the word in a group text with Doug last night, just gutted for him and for his team. And you saw, I think they showed it on NBC. It might have been on Peacock when it switched over, the post-race. Denny embracing his daughters who were just in tears. I mean, when you think about Denny Hamlin, first of all, you think about the day that he had yesterday. And you're right, it is tragic, because if it weren't for that, late race, three laps to go, caution when William Byron lost a tire, we would be having a different conversation
now.
But you think about Denny Hamlin, like him or not, he has 60 wins. He has three Daytona 500s. He is somebody, in my opinion, who on multiple occasions has been in the position to win a championship and should have a championship by now. Crazy things, luck, bad decisions certainly have taken him out of it, but you can't be a human and look at what happened yesterday and not have it just an ounce of sympathy for that man.
Yeah.
Well, NBC did a great job building the narrative.
Yeah.
From the minute they came on the air Sunday, which, by the way, and I put this out on social media, I thought their pre-race show was one of the best ever because they took each one of the championship contenders and they did one of those Olympic-type moments about it. Here's a backstory on William Byron. Here's Denny Hamlin and all four of the drivers. And I thought, well done.
Yeah.
You did the one thing. You humanized them.
Yes.
And that's why you shouldn't call them by number on the broadcast. But that's another story.
This is a hill. Rice is going to die on, by the way.
I'm in that ditch. I'm not coming out.
Is there a number on the flag? The hill. When you plant your flag on that hill and say, I'm defending, is there a number on the flag? Or does it just say Doug Rice?
No, there's a narrative on the flag. I will never get away from the announcers constantly yelling out car numbers. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's not good broadcasting. There, I said it.
Yeah.
If you're trying to build heroes, yelling out car numbers doesn't do it.
That's in a horse race. They even call horses by their
names.
And
when you take that video and play it back 15 years from now, in an independent source, and the announcers are going, it's the 2, oh, it's the 11, it's the 17, you're going to go.
Your mind is going to go to whoever is in the 2 and the 11 and the 17 15 years ago, and it's not going to be, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, I digress.
No, that's
I digress. Fact. They did a great job of building these up as people and as humans, and applause.
Yes.
Applause to NBC for doing that.
Good job.
They did an especially good job with Denny Hamlin, showing the Joe Gibbs piece where he's talking about Denny and about his dad, and then they go to Denny, who's being interviewed by Jeff Burton, and Denny's in tears.
Yeah.
And you just thought, oh, I don't care how much you hate Denny Hamlin. At that moment, you'd have to be a really cold person.
Yeah.
To hate on
it is. Here's the funny part for me. And you would and listen and you'd I think I don't care. Like I said before, love him or hate him, it doesn't make any difference. You're not human if you don't feel that pain today.
The agony of
what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we still had the wide world of sports, we would show Denny. And instead of the skier coming down, we would show Denny wiping his face with a towel when this thing was over, because that's the agony of defeat. But here's the funny part. Here's we start the year and we come out of last year and we start the year and, you know, and Denny's winning races and I beat your favorite driver and it's us against the world and it's all that stuff. And somewhere around 59 and 60, when he won those races, he got very emotional. I mean, he opened up in a different way and didn't push fans away. He invited fans in. And he invited people to come along on this journey and see where I'm going.
Well, it's interesting. And I know we've talked about polls on the show before and what we think about them. But there was a poll on X that was done before the race about who would you like to most see as champion. Yeah. And Denny got the overwhelming majority of people. And I think you're right. It's because at some point, I mean, people feel for him about the story about his dad.
Everything.
Everything. You're right. Yeah. It is a culmination of all of these things. Yeah. And I've always talked about it, too, on the show. At a certain point, no matter who you are, no matter how hated you are, the script flips.
Flips, yeah.
It did for Jeff Gordon. It did for Jimmy Johnson. It did. I mean, like.
Listen, they cheer Kyle Busch now.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean?
They do.
Yeah,
exactly.
They do.
I know.
They do. They cheer everybody.
At some point, the script flips. And I believe at some point this season that happened.
Yeah, it did.
And
it did.
I think what happened yesterday is going to make it even more so.
Yeah. And I don't know what that age is.
Yeah,
but
I don't either.
But it happens, I think, as soon as you realize, wow, they're near the end of their run.
Yeah.
Now, for Denny, he's not falling off.
Yeah, he has not fallen
off. He's an anomaly.
He is not Brad Keselowski or Kyle Busch.
Yeah, he has not fallen off.
But will he?
And when will that happen? So that is the $64 million question right there. Because let's go back. We saw Harvick come out one year and win 8 or 9 races and then couldn't hit a bull in the butt with both hands 12 months later.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, Denny's 12 done months the same
later.
Thing.
Yeah, 12 months later. And we saw Denny this year just be in another zip code.
Right.
Just be someplace totally different. So what will next year hold? And I think that's a big question.
Because so many people talk about this as potentially being his last opportunity,
yeah.
his last really good opportunity at winning a championship. But I don't know. We don't know that.
Let's hold that discussion because I want to know where this goes from here. And by the way, congrats to Kyle Larson.
Yeah.
I know
yes,
he's getting
sure.
I know he's getting short shifted on
yes,
this for winning
is.
The championship, but the story lies with Denny Hamlin today. As time goes on, it'll migrate over to Kyle Larson. Hey, when we come back, we'll give you our Toyota performance report and we'll take kind of a look ahead at where is the next stop for Denny Hamlin.
So you're a Toyota Cup driver and you just made it to the playoffs. Now all you have to do is win. Easy. Just turn left, right? That and start strong, take off, reach 200 miles per hour, maintain a good position, no big deal, lap again, time your pit stops, steer clear of accidents, talk to your crew chief like your best friend, and most importantly, turn left. Easy, right? You in? Get up to speed at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Here's Paul Doschel of Toyota.
We have a kind of robust program around NASCAR, and we feel that if we're going to be there and compete against Chevrolet and Ford, that we want to be able to tell that story. And so we feel that a 360-degree approach is the best for that. Radio fills a much-needed void in our marketing program. Being able to have our commercial spots and the relationship that we have with PRN, where they talk about our vehicles as Camrys and Supras.
The Toyota GR Supra makes that hard left turn onto pit road.
As pace cars, you know, the Toyota Camry pace car or the GR Supra pace car adds a nice touch to broadcast rather than when it's just the pace cars coming out of turn four. So for us, it's really the coming together of a 360-degree approach to really make our program all-inclusive.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
Fast Talk here on PRN. Kyle Petty and Alexis Erickson are in the house. I'm Doug Rice. Glad to have you with us. Let's give you our Toyota Performance Report brought to you by, surprisingly not, Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo Racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by the way, big thank you to the folks at Toyota for sticking with us on this show. Long-term sponsor. We really appreciate it. Alexis and I both drive Highlanders. So.
Ooh. Yes, we do. We appreciate it very much. Yeah. Thank you so much to Toyota and everybody at Toyota Gazoo Racing.
Oh, so it's anonymous because I have a Highlander too.
Whoa.
Yes, I have a Highlander.
I did not know
Yes,
that.
I have a Highlander. Yes.
Are Look you at kidding us.
Me? Yes. So we're all
the Highlander
in the
crew.
We are. That is.
I remember one of the first times Kyle worked here and he showed up.
Oh,
to
I know
the
what
show.
You're going to say.
And he unfolded out of a Prius. Yeah.
Yes, I love that Prius, too.
You
don't
drove
that
thing
that
forever.
Forever, man.
Yeah.
I put 260 on that, 260,000 mm-hmm. miles on that
really?
Thing. That thing was priceless, man.
Now, what was it your dad showed up in one time?
Oh, he had a Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
He had a Mini Cooper.
It was
yeah.
so funny seeing
yeah.
Richard Petty kind of yeah. accordion out of a Mini
yes.
Cooper.
Yes. Yeah, he had the Mini Cooper.
I love
All right.
that.
All right, let's get back to
yes,
the Toyota Performance Report. Denny Hamlin, we've said a lot. We'll talk more. He led 308 laps, but when it counted, he wound up finishing sixth. And Kyle Larson finished third. That was good enough to win the championship. Christopher Bell was 11th. Eric Jones, 16th. Chase Briscoe, 18th. Ty Gibbs, 21st. Riley Herbst, 23rd. Tyler Reddick, 26th. John Hunter Nemechek, 31st. At 37th went to Bubba Wallace. And that's your Toyota Performance Report. You know, one thing that shouldn't be lost, we saw problems, tire problems, yeah, for pretty much all the contenders. Denny had a flat tire. William Byron got knocked out, yeah, by one. Briscoe and Larson, to what you said, Alexis, looked like they were done at one point in the race. But still yet, late in the race, there's all four of them running nose to tail, wow, fighting for the lead.
Yeah. I know. That was kind of crazy. And they, you know, they mentioned it on the broadcast. Like, you had all of these things that transpired over the length of this race with, you know, cars going up and down the running order. And then when, you know, you're right, when it was this late race restart and they were running 1, 2, 3, 4, it was kind of like, that's kind of, it was incredible.
Yeah. When, you know, you saw the Chase Briscoe and Larson both had tire trouble within a lap or two of each,
yeah,
other, and then were fortunate and caught a caution. And when the caution came out, Briscoe got the lucky dog, and Larson took the wave around. And he had on good tires, so he just took the wave. But then he was stuck at 18th forever.
Yeah.
Forever and ever and ever. But at that late in the race, there they were. 1, 2, 3, 4. All up front, ready to run.
So that was a good moment. It gave us, yep, some nice fodder to talk about in what turned out to be a real topsy-turvy day. Let's circle back to Denny Hamlin in the next thing, because I really, yeah, want to give that some time. I want to marinate on what this does to him and how does this affect his career going forward. We'll do all of that next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is it going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoff.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
To the inside, three wide. Larson, though, is on the run. He's got a line on second.
Larson right now in the catbird seat as both Keselowski and Blaney race for the lead. Larson is third to three.
Here they are, back down to turns three and four. Brad Keselowski up off of the corner. Ryan Blaney with a charge. Checkered flag is out. Ryan Blaney wins the NASCAR Cup Series championship race. And the champion for 2025 with a third place finish, Kyle Larson has won the 2025 NASCAR Cup Series Championship.
Great call there by Alex Hayden and the crew from the Motor Racing Network for the championship race, giving Kyle Larson his second championship. You know, it just dawned on me after Ryan Blaney won the race. Ryan was all sort of bent out of the frame the year that he won the championship, but that Ross Chastain stayed out front. What's he doing? Why won't he pull over? I don't hear Ryan saying that now.
Yeah, it's kind of funny when you think about the fact that, you know, Ryan, they talk about Penske and how Penske's so good at Phoenix, but that yesterday is the first time Ryan Blaney's ever won at Phoenix.
Yeah.
He won a championship there, but he hasn't won a race. So, interesting.
I didn't hear him yelling about the fact he should have pulled over and let somebody else win.
And a lot of people were asking Ryan after the race yesterday, does this make what happened last week at Martinsville, you know, that much more, you know, that much harder to take because he came up, you know, one position short and had that have worked out, then he would have been the champion. But he said, and this is the way I feel like all competitors have to think about this, and I'm sure, Kyle, you could put your perspective on this. You cannot continue to lament things that happened
weeks prior.
It's not good for you. It's not good for your mental state or your team. Like, they were happy they won. They were glad to end the year on, you know, a winning foot and have momentum potentially heading into to next season. But yeah, I don't think they thought too much about what could have been.
As a competitor, you don't forget it. You never forget it. Okay. But you have to put it in a box and put it on a shelf somewhere.
Compartmentalize it.
Put it away, because you have to keep looking forward. You can't look back.
So Denny Hamlin's humongous disappointment. Kyle, how does he move on from this? I go back and think about my favorite pro team, the Falcons, blowing the 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. They made some mistakes at the end of the race. As you pointed out, he didn't run his best laps the last two laps. Yeah. They came out in 10th place. Does he ever get over this, or is this something that follows Denny Hamlin around the rest of his career?
So, both. He will get over it. He will get over it. But it's going to follow him forever. This is going to be that footnote. You know what I mean?
We're going to talk about it.
It is, but it's always going to be that. It's always going to be that footnote where it said what could have been, what might have been, when you look at it. So I think when you look at that, but at the same time, he's got more wins in him. He's got more wins. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt he's got more wins. I just don't believe at this point in time he's got more shots at championships. And I say that because the sport's going to change again next year. We were talking about it because Jeff Gordon mentioned it yesterday. Chevy's going to get a new car. Chevy has something, and they're excited about it. Jeff Gordon's excited about it. Hendrick Motorsports is excited about where they're at. And Jeff was excited that here at the end of the season, the Chevys had found some speed. So they're going to roll out next year at Daytona and at Vegas and at Atlanta and all these places with a new car and speed, they feel like. So I just think the sport changes so much, man. It's tough to say I'm going to get another shot at. I just don't believe. I think this was his last shot. That's just me, okay? I'm the one that also says he's the last guy to 60. You know what I mean? And I may have to eat crow on both of those, but I just think it's his last shot.
I just think you like crow.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Man, with a little sourdough bread and a little gravy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You had me until you mentioned sourdough bread, which is just awful.
I love sourdough.
I cannot stand it.
Love it.
Are you kidding me?
I do not like sourdough bread.
I'm going to bring you a loaf.
Why?
Homemade. Well,
homemade.
That could make a difference.
Yeah.
Homemade.
Are you making it?
I'm going to bake you a loaf of bread.
Oh, my gosh.
I promise you. I
love it.
I'm making a note now.
Hold on. Bake a loaf of bread. Don't you bring him a loaf of bread and not bring me one.
I will. Okay. Bake bread.
I will make a bowl out of it and put some clam chowder
there you go.
In.
That's good. That's all right.
Can I do that?
You can do whatever you want with your bread. Don't touch
mine. Yeah, just eat
mine.
The bread and throw the clam chowder away and it'll be good.
We have lost
the show.
Come on, let's get back. Yeah, it's like a rain out here. Well, I want to talk, and I'm going to leave a little more time in this next segment because it's already time to reflect on the season that was. It's done. Congratulations, Kyle Larson. Your second championship. You won four races this year. And I know people are caterwauling about the format and how he did it. But we all knew what the format was when the year started.
That's exactly right.
And that includes last year when Joey Logano came out of nowhere and rose from the dead, and he won a championship.
Yes.
And there was a lot of yelling and screaming and gnashing of teeth, mainly because it was Joey Logano.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with that one. That's exactly right. That's true.
Yeah, because if
that's
it was true. Chase Elliott, there wouldn't have been.
No, there would have been
the greatest.
There would have been no gnashing
ever.
Of teeth. I can tell you that.
No, a rendering of garments or anything.
No,
it would
nothing.
Have all been fine.
It would have been perfect.
And the world would have gone on.
Yes.
Lots of rainbows and flowers, but that's not how it happened. So we're back in that soup again. Let's talk about what we may be talking about 2025 in reflection.
Let's talk about your health insurance. There are a lot of reasons why people need affordable health insurance. But here's the bottom line. You know you need affordable health insurance. For you, a spouse, a family member, whatever. I'm going to give you a free hotline to call to find affordable health insurance that can cover all your health insurance needs in case you get sick or have an emergency, plus cover vision, dental, and more. And there are no long-term commitments. You can keep your plan as long as it's affordable. And for the price of a cup of coffee. We're not talking about one of those fancy coffees. For the price of a regular cup of coffee a day, you can have quality, affordable health insurance. Call the health insurance hotline for a free quote.
800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. That's 800-275-7851.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities, our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
It's a little early, but let's go ahead and start looking back a little bit at 2025. And I primed the pump here with the folks saying we were going to talk about this. And it's not about who had the best year, worst year, that sort of thing. What will this year be remembered for, Alexis? Is there one story in your mind right now, when we're less than 24 hours away from Kyle Larson winning the championship, that people are going to say 2025 was the year of X?
The revolt against the point system. I mean, to me, I'm serious. I feel like that was the biggest story. It was the longest running from, and probably carry over, you know, from the Joey Logano championship the year prior. But it in my mind, dominated a lot of the conversation woven throughout the entire year about how this format is, you know, for better or worse. You had people on both sides, people that were pro, you know, this championship format, and ones that are like, no, we don't want this, and here are the reasons why. And, you know, potentially what we saw this weekend, you know, backs up the arguments that a lot of those people were making. And we have heard from reputable sources that there will be a change to the format going forward in 2026. I know that I am not privy to that information, so I have no idea what it will be. But in my mind, that was one of, if not the biggest story that dominated the entire course of the season.
Yeah. And it was strange because it dominated the conversation before we even got to the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That is the strange part about that. So I think it's, I think you look at it, have to look at it from every different angle. And I will say this, I think from a fan's perspective, that's going to be their story. That's what they're going to remember, a lot of that stuff. I think if you're a competitor in the sport, I think you're going to look at this season and say, nobody really grabbed this season by the throat and said, it's my season. Nobody. It was an open field, and everybody went every week thinking, we got a shot, because we saw Christopher Bell knock off three in a row early on, and everybody was putting his name on the championship trophy. And then we saw Denny come back and do it and win races in a row. And we saw the Toyotas be strong, but then we saw the Chevys get fast, and we saw the Fords run good. And we, you know, so I think we saw a little bit of that. So I think the competitors are going to look at it that way. If you are NASCAR, you're going to look at it as the year of the lawsuit.
Yep.
That's what it is. And depending on what happens in December on that, the whole world may look at it as the year that NASCAR was shook to its core and changed direction. So I think there's a lot of different things that you're going to look back on. But it really honestly depends on your perspective on where you're at, whether you're a fan, whether you're a competitor, or whether you're the sanctioning body.
And I think you're spot on, too, when you say in December, like, the story is not even completely written yet.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet.
Like, we have a champion. We know how the points have played out. We know all of those things. But as far as, like, NASCAR in 2025 and what it will look like going forward, the story isn't completely written yet.
Well, got to get the lawsuit
done.
Sounds like, as we're talking right here, that it'll be settled and maybe not go to trial. Yeah. But that subject change, I hear
mediation
a different story
went
every
so
day.
Well. Yes. Mediation went so well. So, yes.
But
I think that, you know, the things that I heard were they wanted to try to settle before the events that occurred this weekend, before race cars hit the racetrack at Phoenix. That didn't happen. That, I don't know. I'm not a legal expert. Yeah. But that leads me to believe that we might not be getting a settlement. But we'll see.
I don't know that we had a new star pop up.
No.
Chase Briscoe, a little bit.
Yeah.
Won three races.
Sure.
Yeah, I think Chase Briscoe pulled his chair up to the table. Yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah, he's not a star, but he pulled his chair up to the table.
Nobody else, all of the conversation about all of these other people that didn't do anything.
Yeah, so, and just dawned on me. I don't even know if Chase pulled his chair up to the table. I think Reddick just got up and Chase took his space. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because we didn't see Reddick this year. You know,
not really
at all. We didn't see him. And here's the guy that was supposed to lead 2311 into that. So, I mean, you're right. But we didn't see a star emerge.
Now, I will say, you know, I take a little bit of exception to your point, Kyle, on the fact that it was wide open. And the reason why is because it was wide open if you were a Hendrick, a Gibbs, or a Penske driver.
Yes.
It was not wide open in the way that it was a couple years ago when these cars first rolled out and you had a bunch of other teams and the playing field. I think, Doug, you had a stat a couple weeks ago, and I don't remember what it was, but those three big teams won, like, I don't know, 80%
or something. All but five of the races.
Right, exactly.
It's bigger than that if you take SVG out of the mix, which I know you can't, but he won five races for Trackhouse. Without that, they win one.
That's right. But I'm going to say this. I remember, and as you bring this up, I remember us sitting here the first year of this car at this very table, sitting here talking about how at that time it was going to be as level as it was ever going to be.
Right.
Because the big teams didn't know any more than the small teams or the mid-sized teams. No one had any more information. And we saw some great runs by Front Row, by different teams who stepped up and led races and were able to run up front, not only on restrictor plates, but everywhere else. But you're right. As we've gotten deeper into it, it's gone back. In the words of the great Jimmy Spencer, the cream rises to the cream. So that's where we're at right now. The cream has risen.
I mean, you look at this, and I do think it's not a glamour story. It doesn't have a lot of sex appeal. But the fact that three organizations run the roost and will.
Oh, yeah. And will.
And will going forward. I don't see any of that changing.
But those three organizations are just extensions of the three manufacturers.
Exactly.
Who run the business anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the sport now, the manufacturers are the dominant player in the sport. They may have a bit different name on the car from a sponsorship, but the manufacturers are the dominant partner.
And you mentioned something else, Doug, and I think that this, it wasn't a huge story, but I do think that it still needs to be mentioned, and that is what Shane Van Gisbergen did on road courses this year, and kind of the genius behind Justin Marks putting him in that car. Yeah. And what we will see potentially in 26 when it's him and Zilich battling back and forth for the road course supremacy.
True.
Since you mentioned his name, Connor Zilich, who dominated the Xfinity landscape, and I know we don't talk about the Xfinity series a lot on this show, he won 10 races this year. He goes to Phoenix, the overwhelming favorite. They don't have a great day. They get outrun by Jesse Love.
Yeah.
Jesse Love that won at Daytona and he won the tail end. Jesse Love wins the title. If NASCAR had a fear about the Achilles heel of this point system being exposed, that's Exhibit
it.
A.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. If I'm going in the court, that's all I'm taking. I'm taking that final race and I'm taking the stats from Zilich and the stats from Jesse Love. And this is not a knock against Jesse Love. It's not a knock against him. He won the championship under the existing system that we had. He is the champion. You can't take that away from him. But when you look at the stats and you lay them side by side, as a fan, you question and you're like, how's this kid even on the same racetrack with Zilich? How's this kid even racing for a championship with Connor Zilich? So it is the poster child to say maybe something does need to be looked at.
And we don't know what that's going to be.
We don't. Nor do we know when it will be announced.
As we're here recording the show on November 3rd, I keep hearing three or four different scenarios about how NASCAR's going to determine the champion next year. Pretty sure it's not going to be final race, four drivers, like we've seen.
I think the only thing we know for sure is that it won't be,
it'll be
this
different.
Current system. Yeah.
You guys good with going to Homestead, Miami to end it?
I am. Yeah, absolutely.
I really am. I am because I think Homestead is it's a raceable racetrack where you can run high, you can run low. We see guys run in the middle. You see guys move around. Your car doesn't work here. You go there. And I know we go to Phoenix and everybody wants to give it to a Penske driver. And we're going to go down to Homestead and everybody's already got Larson's name and Reddick's name written on it. That's just the way it is. If we went to Martinsville, we're going to put Blaney on it and we're going to put Hendrick on it and we're going to do some of those things. So there are tracks that match certain drivers. But as we saw yesterday, no matter how well you run, you still have to put the total race together.
Do we think it stays there or is NASCAR going to move it around?
No, I don't think it does. I think that they've heard the call. Now, I will say that there are only a handful of tracks that probably make sense for the season finale race. But I don't think that we're going to have another like 8-10 year run at one racetrack. Now, that could be there for 2 years and then somewhere else for 2 years. I don't know if it's going to be every year change, but I do think it'll be changed.
I like the racing at Homestead. I'm going to say that. I like the racing and what I see on the racetrack at Homestead. I'm going to be honest and say when they went to Phoenix, I thought it was an idiotic move because I had never seen a good race at Phoenix between two guys, just come down to two guys racing. And we still don't see a lot of two guys come down to race. But what makes Phoenix exciting and what makes the last race exciting is you're watching four guys. You're watching four guys race each other and where they're at on the racetrack. And it's the point battle that you're following during the race that makes that race so exciting. Now, because honestly, not an exciting race yesterday when Denny Hamlin just drives off to a 2 second lead and just drives away from everybody.
No, it wasn't.
No. It was not an exciting race. But I think at Homestead, we have seen some exciting races where guys battle with each other.
I will throw out four other tracks that eventually.
Please do.
Yes.
I'll be in my 80s by the time it gets there, but that's okay. Las Vegas Motor Speedway could easily host the finale.
1,000%.
Great.
You got weather. You got all of the things that go along with that. Where our studios are located.
Yes.
Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Be another good one.
Would be fine.
Yes.
It was 65 degrees and sunny here yesterday, which would have been the finale race.
Yeah.
Charlotte Motor Speedway, excellent place to do it. Dare I say Texas Motor Speedway.
Texas would be a good one.
I think Texas puts on
a good show now. Yeah. One time, that was kind of the elephant graveyard of NASCAR. I feel like it's resurrected. All right, here's a wild card one. What about Darlington?
Oh, Man, Darlington has put on some shows lately.
I think it would be a good race.
Darlington has put on some. Listen, I'd like to see him try it. If nothing else, just go there. Give it a shot, man. Give it a shot one time as the final race.
And you can't say that you don't want to race at Darlington because the weather could be crazy. Yeah. You just ran last weekend in Martinsville, Virginia.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's
so
a good point. Great
one
point.
Week removed.
Well, the finale used to be in Atlanta.
Atlanta. Yeah.
And that's not as far south as people think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where they had the snowstorms in Atlanta wasn't the finale. It was the spring race.
The spring. That's exactly right. Yeah,
I cannot name the number of times I've sat in the infield in Atlanta and watched the snow move in.
Yeah. I cannot name the number of times I sat in a room at a Ramada Inn and only ate at a Waffle House for 3 days waiting for the snow to melt so that we could leave Atlanta. I can tell you that, too.
That was that blizzard year.
Yeah, that blizzard year was crazy.
Can I just say that you just brought up something, a light bulb kind of went off in my mind. Years past, and Doug, you can account for this, some of the biggest story has been weather.
Yeah.
It has been rain delays. We were not really plagued with that this year.
Crazy.
We had such a great weather year. I'm sure there were some races that were impacted, but like as I sit here now, I mean, there were years when it felt like every single week we were dodging rain. Daytona got started late. Right.
Yeah.
And outside of that,
I don't know. Yeah.
Such a great weather
year. There was
year.
Not a race moved to another day.
Yeah.
And that's unbelievable.
It is. It really is.
So, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. In this time of climate change, it is unbelievable.
Well, see, the climate changed.
It changed for the better in our particular.
In the words of Daryl Wartwood, there's a vortex and it starts turning. Once them cars get going around in a circle right there.
I miss DW.
Yeah, I do too, man. Same. I do too.
I just wanted to point that out because I felt like it was kind of crazy
when you think about it. That's a great point.
Well, especially when you live in the broadcast world and your entire life is affected by a cold front
weather,
in Terre Haute.
Weather feel is crazy. When you have to feel for weather, when it's like, okay, we're gonna delay 30 minutes, so we're just gonna BS for 30 minutes.
Yeah,
here. Let's just talk about things for 30.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, because I run, listen, even with my depth of BS, I run out after a while.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I do.
I may call
you.
It's
not a never ending tank of BS.
I do run out.
All right, we gotta take a timeout. Green flag, black flag rolls your way next.
Fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. Join me each week for the True Reporters Roundtable, known as the Pit Reporters.
This is not what we're used to and accustomed to seeing. That, I think, with a backdrop, is why a lot of fans are a bit sour on Denny.
He still wants to play that role that now Denny has taken on, but him and the A-car haven't had the same success. You can't be the villain, and it doesn't really work as well if you're not winning, and Denny Hamlin is doing just that.
Check us out each week on the Performance Racing Network.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk heart to heart. So let's talk for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
We'll be right back. the way, thanks to everyone that has made Fast Talk a part of your weekly routine this year. We will continue off-season shows. We'll start cranking those up in a couple of weeks. And normally what we do is we go out and find high-level media members, or at least we think they're high-level, and we spend a couple of segments talking with each one of them. So chances are your favorite media personality will probably be showing up on the program here over the next few weeks during the offseason, get their perspective on what will be rolling around in 2026 and what the big stories were from this past year. Let's do this now.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right, I've got high-level statements I'll be reading here today. I got five of these.
Oh, my goodness.
I never have five. So we're going to...
Questions from a hat.
That's true. And our panel will give them cerebral examination. They will either give it a green flag. If they disagree, they'll give it a black flag. If they're all in agreement. You know what? They do it all for free. You know what they get? They get nothing for doing it.
Nothing. And we like it.
And we like it.
Nothing. All right, here we go. We're going to start with Alexis Erickson today. In the years to come, no one will remember the non-championship driver who won a championship race.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, I think it'll probably end up being like a Trivial Pursuit question or like a random bar trivia question. And you could ask it for, what, 2023 and 2025 and see who gets it right. I'm sure we all know who won in 2023, and obviously Ryan Blaney won yesterday. But, yeah, I think that'll get lost in translation as the years roll on.
Yeah, Kyle Petty?
Yeah, I think it depends on who you are, but I'll say green flag on that. You know, it's crazy. It's the most under-celebrated win that anyone ever has of their career. You know what I mean? It's when you have this, nobody cares.
Yeah. Doug Rice,
dustbin of history.
Yeah, exactly.
In agreement. Everybody, in agreement.
I just wanted to hear that.
That's it.
That's right. Kyle Petty, this one's for you. Brad Keselowski will end his winless streak next year, 2026.
Oh, no. I'm going to give that a black flag.
Oh.
Yeah. I think he ended it a couple of years ago. I just don't think they put themselves in position, but they were just in position, not in position to really win. Yeah. Does that make sense? Gotcha. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but no. Did I give it a black flag?
Doug, do you know what he's trying to say?
Black flag.
All right, Doug.
Black flag. That's over. That bus left.
Yeah. Already. Okay, Alexis?
Yeah, I guess let's go ahead and get that.
Oh, there we go. Wow, we just like that sound effect.
All right. You guys? All right, here we go. Let's go to Doug Rice on this one. Kyle Larson's going to join Joey Logano as a three-time champion.
You know what? I'm going to green flag that. He's got a long way to go. He's really good. He's with one of the best teams. Why not? Go win another one.
What do you think, Alexis?
Yeah, he's still relatively young, and you know, he has certainly become one of the biggest stars of our sport. I think we'll definitely see him hoist the trophy again.
Going to be unanimous again?
Yeah, it is. So I was talking to we were doing a thing with Jeff yesterday, and Jeff said, it's like, how do you keep these guys motivated? And Jeff said, I got four. I just tell them, come get them some of this.
Yeah.
Come get you some
Absolutely.
Of this. You
know what I mean? Yeah.
And he's like, so he's motivating them. So, yes, I think so, yes.
All right, Alexis, we're back to you. Shane Van Gisbergen will win on an oval in 2026.
Oof, black flag. Yeah, sorry. I mean, I think he'll get lots of W's next year, but they're all going to come on road courses. Although, like I said in the prior segment, he's going to have to battle Zilich for him, so it's going to be the battle of road course supremacy. I think he's going to do better on ovals. I think, you know, he will get more top 10s, potentially some top 5s. I just don't see him getting a win just yet, though.
All right, Kyle.
Yeah, and I'm whatever. What are we, black flag that? Was that a green
flag? Yeah, black flag.
Black flag.
Shane will win.
No, he's not going to win. Okay. But come back and ask that same question. Go ahead and put that in the archives and ask that same question at the end of next year.
Right.
And we'll see where 27 holds.
Because exactly.
I think he's got to ease into it right now. He's a good top 15 team right now. He's got to get to 10 and then 5 and then you win.
Doug, what do you think?
I think he's going to win one. I think it's going to be Pocono or Indianapolis.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Sure.
Put that in the archive.
I'm just pointing to center field.
Yeah, you
that's
did.
Where the ball's going.
I mean,
you did point that one.
I don't
you
think so, one. But if it were to happen, one of those would that makes sense.
Yeah.
Your thought process that, behind that makes sense. That
is. All right.
Got 2.5 years ago, I said Kyle Busch never win again.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah.
Hmm.
Nailed that one.
Checking the time nailed that on one. That.
Wow. Yeah.
One more, right?
I think it's Kyle's turn here, first of all. Okay, here we go. One more. Chili is a soup, not a stew.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Chili is a soup, not a stew. Wow. Chili, I don't know. It's always on the menu under soups, but so is Jell-O is on the menu under vegetables sometimes. So I don't.
What?
Yes. So is banana pudding. Yeah. Have you ever been to a
macaroni
restaurant?
Macaroni
is a vegetable. They'll just put it under vegetables instead of sides. They just put it as a vegetable. So chili is
soup.
You know
or
what?
Stew.
Man.
Does it matter?
Green flag. Green flag. I'm going to go green flag.
It is a soup, not a stew. Okay, Doug.
I'm going to go green flag because it feels that need when I want soup.
That's right.
Then
that's
chili right. will fill that void that only soup can do.
Okay, so then tell me what's the difference between soup and stew?
Now.
A stew has 6 things in it, and soup only has like 2 or 3 things in it.
Well, my chili has lots of things.
Wait, I just made that up.
Vegetable soup.
I feel like a stew, you can stick a fork in it, and the fork stays upright.
Yeah,
you know what
like
I mean?
Denny Moore beef stew. Yeah,
you
can eat Denny Moore beef stew out of a tin can with a fork. Good call there.
Thank you.
Good call. I'm with Doug on that
All
one.
All right. Green flag. Soup.
Yes.
Our neighbors across the street hosted Soup Day a week ago.
Oh, did they really?
And everybody that came brought a crock pot. And we knocked out their power, by the way. But
blew a breaker.
Yeah, we did that. But everybody brought their best like soup in a crock pot. And we sat around outside and enjoyed soup. It was fantastic.
That is a cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we found out that National Homemade Soup Day is in like February.
Yeah, but it should be in November.
Well, it could be any day your heart wants it to be, Doug.
I like a good soup. Yeah. That was a high quality question.
That was a high quality question. That made you think, man. That was a good one.
Whatever we're paying those writers.
Yes.
It's too much.
Yeah. God, I love Mondays.
I love Mondays. You know, I liked it when Alexis was first new to the show, and she was so timid, and now...
Be careful what you wish for.
Raging redhead that tackles everything head on. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll be right back.
This is a consumer warning for men in our audience looking to buy generic versions of the blue or yellow pills online. Be very careful. Many of these products may be completely ineffective. Our research team has found versions of these blue and yellow pills for the remarkable price of about $1 a pill. They have a success rate as high as 87% to help men with erection issues. And remember, with a price as low as $1, you'll get more bang for your buck. Call now and we can confidentially ship your order with no questions asked. Call now to learn how to get our versions of the blue or yellow pills for about $1 a pill. Call now and ask for express shipping to get your package in days. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. That's 800-245-4816. Call Pharmacy Shop now.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Erickson.
Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Thanks a bunch. Do want to take a minute to thank Kyle Petty for coming in for so many shows this year. I know he red-eyed back from Phoenix to get here to make this one today. We always appreciate your contribution, man. Love working with
you. Listen, I love coming in. I say it all the time. This is one of my favorite things ever is to come in here and work with you two. So thank you guys for letting me do it. I appreciate it more than you know.
We certainly enjoy it. Do we have time for one last thing? Are we going to do that?
I guess so.
We got one thing.
Last thing. Yes.
All right, Alexis, go ahead.
You know, I think I'm just going to keep mine short and sweet. I'm just thankful. You know, here we are at the end of another year, and there's so much back and forth and consternation on what's right, what's not right. You know, is this champion legitimate, not legitimate, format discussions, all of these things that are like, you know, hanging over us. But I'm just thankful to have had another year working in a sport that I really enjoy. Yeah. So thankful for that. Thankful for Doug and for Kyle and to be able to come together and do the show every Monday. You know, and obviously thankful to the Performance Racing Network for still putting money in my bank account every couple weeks.
There you go, girl.
That's good perspective.
Yes.
I'm going to go to a real world thing and not in the sports deal. And Alexis will figure this out real quick. Many, many years ago, we had this little intern come in and be a part of our life named Jessica Galala. And at now, Jessica Fickinger is one of the highest-ranking women in all of NASCAR. She is the chief experience officer for Speedway Motorsports. She was instrumental in the comeback. And Kyle, you were a part of that, of North Wilkesboro Speedway.
Yes.
She spearheaded that effort on the ground and has just been a tremendous person. Her husband, Jim, or affectionately known as Memer, worked for PRN for a long time. He now works for Speedway Children's Charities. And this past week, Jessica started her chemotherapy for stage 2 breast cancer. So if you're the praying kind, we would welcome that. Good wishes, vibes are everything. She is one of the most awesome people I have ever met in my life. And I know it's not going to be easy. But if there's anybody that's tough enough to get through it, I think Jessica Fickinger is.
Yeah, we love you, Jess. She's one of the strongest, if not the strongest person I know. So I know she's going to fight this thing head on. We're thinking about you.
And think about everybody, because I don't know that there's anyone that doesn't know somebody that hasn't been directly affected by breast cancer. So if you see in October and you're watching people wear pink shoes or whatever, they're doing it for a really good cause. So, Jessica, make it through this, and we'll get you back down here. And she doesn't like to be interviewed. I found that out when she did the Northwoods.
Then let's interview her.
Then let's do
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. That's what this is all about in this room.
Yeah, this is not about your comfort level, Jessica.
That's right.
So heal up, and we're all thinking about you and praying for you. Thanks to the great team that puts this show on each and every week as we wrap up this regular season edition. Brad Gilley is normally a big part of the show. Kyle Petty, Alexis, myself. We talk about David Stiles and Kent Bernhardt. You hear Kent a lot of times. He is the person that is doing Green Flag, Black Flag, and David Stiles. Ultimately, very, very talented young man that fills a lot of roles on this show. And we enjoy doing it, and we hope that that shows up. I know it's a little bit different than most other shows. We don't take ourselves too serious. And from that, we derive a little bit of joy, and we hope that you get some joy out of that, too. So for our entire team, thanks a lot. We will continue through the offseason. I said we will have some media-centric shows coming up here on Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.